And it's now time to chat to Annette, where we are talking about nutrition and we're talking about processed foods and various types of processed foods. And Annette, good morning. Welcome on this very chilly Thursday.
Good morning, Wayne.
And processed foods, I don't know if any of them will keep the cold away, but as you were mentioning to me before we went on, there's different types and different levels of process. Give us the details.
So what I want to speak about ultra-processed food today, but I thought let's just take one step back and sort of start with the concept that we all are familiar with, which is processed foods. And but then there's obviously different classifications of processed food, and that will actually bring us then to ultra-processed food. So if you have a look at processed foods, it simply means that it is a food that's been altered from its original form. So we sort of know that processed food is not a thing that we would want to necessarily eat. So if we look at an international definition of it, so there's an international division that says any deliberate change in food that occurs before it's ready to eat for us, that is what they classify as processed foods.
Okay.
And basic things, for instance, like heating or pasteurizing, canning or drying, this can be considered as a processing form.
Okay.
Not necessarily bad for us, but in the definition of processing, it basically means that the food is not in its natural state.
Yeah.
So it's been changed. So even if we think we buy milk today, it's pasteurized milk.
Mm.
Some things that was heated before just to preserve it a little bit longer.
Mm.
So then what does ultra processed foods look like then? And also with ultra processed foods, there's a lot of research that suggests that these foods actually causes heart problems, obesity, cancers. So really something to be cautious for. So there's a few classifications. So there's a NOVA classification that the Brazilians came up with. And on the first end of that would be that unprocessed would mean that it's minimally processed, uh-huh. like fruits, vegetables, and eggs. And then if we look at the ultra-processed side, that's the other end of it, would be foods that has been defined as an industrial formulation with five or more ingredients.
Okay.
So ultra-processed foods then means it's characterized by its highly altered, often containing added ingredients like sugar, fat, salt, but also then other things that we actually don't even know the names on that ingredient list. Sometimes I look at a food product and I'm thinking, what are the rest of these things on this ingredient list? It starts with maize, for instance, and then it carries on with maybe a little bit of sugar, fat, and salt. And then there's a long list of ingredients that we don't even recognize the names. And this is really ultra-processed foods. And simple examples would be things like chips that we eat, carbonated drinks, instant noodles, even some frozen meats like pies and pizzas, mass-produced packaged breads, pastries, cakes. Obviously, the mass production of these things, refined flour with lots of preservatives and artificial flavorants and colorants to give it, obviously, a good look, a good mouthfeel. And what obviously, you want the consumer to come back and buy it again. Other things, also ultra-processed, breakfast cereals, cereal bars, energy bars, ready-made sauces, even some yogurts and stuff that it's got lots of added ingredients, margarines, like vegan alternatives. All of these are classified as ultra-processed foods. So I think if you understand the process, then it will make it a little bit easier for us to classify which is processed foods that I am allowed and which are ultra-processed food that I'm not allowed to eat. So if we look at the first three steps, basically your primary stage would be the basic preparation, like removing parts of the fruit or vegetable, maybe that's not edible, even the grains, maybe cleaning, parboiling. So this is a primary stage. And then the secondary stage would include maybe baking, freezing, and fermentation or frying. And then the third stage would be where we actually get the edible food product. And it seems like the first three steps are sort of acceptable if we look at processed food. So if it's a food source that maybe there's a little bit of salt and sugar added and you can read the ingredients on the ingredient list, then that processed food seem to be sort of okay. Mm. But if you see something on an ingredient list, anything besides salt, sugar, oils, and fats, so in other words, substances that they would not necessarily use in culinary preparation. So if you would not use it in your kitchen to add to your food, you should actually not buy it when it's in a package and then eat it at home. Mm. So that's really what ultra-processed foods then mean. So I think for us to be able to limit processed foods, we really have to understand the different processes. So if we think about bran flakes as an example,
right,
generally there will be bran, maybe salt and sugar. So that is acceptable. But then if you go a little bit further to other ingredients where they start adding stabilizers, preservatives, flavorants, colorants, and all the different E numbers, that's definitely not something we would want to consume. We see that as ultra-processed foods. So just a few basic practical steps. So obviously you want to read the food label and make sure you choose the product with the fewer ingredients. Obviously cooking at home goes a very long way because then we can actually reduce the consumption of ultra processed foods. Because if you think about fast foods, they are sort of notorious to sort of fiddle with their recipes to achieve a certain flavor.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it involves a lot of flavor-enhancing spices and oils and fats and sugars to create that mouthfeel. So not something you want to do on a regular basis. And then, we understand that maybe getting unprocessed foods is not the easiest thing to do, and some people it might be whether it's affordability, availability, or accessibility that makes it difficult for us to get unprocessed foods. And it always makes me think of how many times I've said in the past, try to eat the food in its real state. So yes, you know, if you can have a little vegetable garden at the back of in your yard, I mean, it's easy to get carrots and beetroot and spinach and tomatoes. And we can actually, with a small patch, create some fresh things for us to eat. And then basically all you have to buy is some sort of fresh meat and eggs. And you can probably feed a whole family. So I think we're sort of moving back that way to be a little bit more healthy. So I thought to actually just give a few examples if we have to classify stuff that we know from ultra processed, and then what would the home version of that be? And while I was preparing this, I was actually looking at it and thinking, I think probably 90% of the population would eat ultra processed food.
I think most of the time.
Most of the time. So, for instance, breakfast cereal, if we talk about breakfast cereal, so if it's sweetened breakfast cereal, it's been classified as ultra processed. Then processed would be your normal bran, whatever sort of high fiber bran version you might get, still falls into the processed group. And then the best version would actually be to eat like rolled oats or steel cut oats, or even like a raw unrefined type of mealy meal that didn't go through any process, that is would be your home version.
Uh-huh.
And in terms of what we drink, sodas would be classified as ultra processed. Then if you make a sparkling water with some other artificial flavor in it, we can see it as processed. And then the best way would be to actually take some other fresh juice, mix it with water, or take water and flavor it with fresh fruit. So that would be the home version of something like a soda. And potato chips, I'm like, you know, this is something that people eat a lot. So that would also be classified as ultra processed. Then the processed version would be that sort of that rolled tortilla, those biggie chips that they make nachos from. I think that's probably the rawest form of a chip because it's rolled maize or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then otherwise you must do a DIY pita chip at home. I don't even know how you would necessarily do that.
Mm-hmm.
But and with these first three things, I think if you think of a normal day, how many times you would maybe drink a soda, eat a packet of chips, and you had some other cereal from a box this morning.
Mm.
And we're not even at lunchtime yet, where you might stop at the takeaway, your closest takeaway to the office. Then white bread, would be ultra processed. So you want to move to a whole wheat type of bread with minimal ingredients. So obviously maybe a whole wheat bread that's been baked by a shop. And then otherwise you want to make a whole homemade whole wheat bread. Fried chicken that you bought at the shop would also be ultra processed. Then if it's a deli roasted chicken, still classified as processed. Mm. So you want to take the fresh chicken home, spice it with normal salt, normal pepper, maybe some lemon juice, some fresh chopped chili or whatever, and roast that. Then candy, there's a lot of sweets these days. I think the first one is sugar and the rest is colorants and e-numbers.
Basically a no-no.
Ultra-processed version of sweet. So you would want to maybe go to the simple old hard-boiled candy.
Mm.
Which would just be like sugar with a flavorant. Otherwise classified as a good option would be your high-end dark chocolate. In terms of coffee, not like a frozen coffee drink that you bought from wherever would be classified as ultra-processed. Obviously, the powders that they use has got a lot of fats, sugars, flavorants, colorants, stabilizers. So a processed version would be maybe a store-bought cold brew. And then your home version would be where you made maybe a good old plunger whey or like with plunger coffee, you made that cold, you added some milk to it and a little bit of sugar,
mm-hmm.
and you've cooled that down and sort of that make that your frozen cold drink. And then mashed potatoes. Not mashed potato flakes or schmash that you buy in a packet, ultra processed. Even frozen potatoes that we buy frozen would be seen as processed. And then obviously the best way to do it is to buy the real potato and bring it back home and roast it, boil it first and maybe roast it in your oven.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think with all of that said, everybody, you would sort of be scared to go to the grocery store because what do I buy next? But I think to summarize it, when you go to the grocery store, still focus on getting fruits and vegetables. If they are frozen or canned, it's not the end of the world. Mm. I think that's sort of the safest way of buying a processed food. But then obviously you want to, if you start buying frozen things, please check the ingredient lists. Make sure that it's literally maybe the chicken with some salt and pepper or whatever it might be and a little bit of fat and oil. And then also when it comes to fats and sugars and salt that they've added in processed food, although that might not be the worst version of a processed food that you buy, we do have to watch out how much sugar, how much fat, how much salt that they add to it, so that you can actually still actually eat real food, just in a frozen way. So that's sort of what we have to do when we try and buy grocery shopping. We go grocery shopping.
Just something that you mentioned, Anetsi, which was a little bit scary and actually in a way quite sad, is that you mentioned that, you know, when it comes to affordability, we're going for the like super ultra processed foods because the fresh good stuff is actually too expensive. So, you know, obviously high processed foods are mass produced and they become more cost effective. But your good old fresh fruits and vegetables are actually sometimes for, sadly, some of our some sectors of our population and the population that should least be eating ultra-processed foods are the ones that can't afford fresh food because of affordability.
Yes. Yeah, it is quite sad that it is this way. So I think a practical way would literally be to, if you've got a patch of garden, actually start planting some sort of fresh vegetables that is manageable, that we can consume, and also then maybe eggs and some fruits, and also to maybe go to a market or buy from a local producer where it is definitely more cost effective to buy the fresh produce than to maybe go to a chain store to get some fresh produce. Many times you do see people selling fresh stuff on the corner of the street or whatever else at an affordable price. So maybe a little bit fresh food hunting is not a bad idea, to see where you can get some fresh vegetables for a reasonable price.
Right.
And then maybe boil that. And I think, you know, if we look at rice, if we look at this, the starches, things like your brown rice, even things like your legumes, baked beans, butter beans, lentils, split peas, really, really good sources of carbohydrates, which is not expensive, but obviously it takes a little bit of time in terms of the cooking process. But with scenarios like that, I always suggest, you know, if it's a Sunday and you've got a lot of time, do some effort and boil the brown rice, make that bean mix or whatever it might be that takes cooking time, and put it in your fridge for the rest of the week, so that you don't, because you are working and you don't necessarily have time to boil these things when you come from work. But if you put some time and effort in, maybe on a Sunday, to prepare a bulk of these whole grain starches, because those starches are really, really rich in fibers and protein, so really good for us. And then you can add some fresh meat or some fresh vegetable to that, which might take you a few minutes, because I think many times fast foods and convenient food, people are driven to buy those things just because of the fast pace we live in. And sometimes think it's not because a lack of sort of the willingness to get the fresh stuff, but it's more a lack of time to actually prepare the fresh food, because 6 o'clock when you get home, like, everybody is like absolutely starving because of a busy day, and then sort of grab the first thing that you can get to sort of
you want to throw the first thing that you see in the fridge into the pan and get going.
Yeah, so I think if we put a little bit of planning into it, and, you know, this is way easier said than done, but it does take a little bit of time and planning to get fresh food on the table. And even if you think of shopping, just to get the fresh food to your house literally means to make a plan on a weekend to get some fresh food produce, make it accessible so that you have it in the week, and then every single day when you come home, at least there's something. And when it comes to spending money, I do think that if we actually buy fresh things and we plan the week, you will find that you will spend less money because fast foods are not cheap.
They're not. Yes.
They are very expensive. So if you actually utilize fast food money and seeing what fresh produce you can buy for that money, I think you will be surprised what you can get. I sometimes see, you know, they've got, you can buy 2 kilograms of potato, butternut and tomatoes for like 200 rand. I mean, you can feed a family for a week most probably with all of that.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So it is a little bit of, we sort of have to do our homework of what we can get for the money that we do have to spend on food and try and get, make efforts to put some fresh stuff into that budget instead of just buying the easy, convenient processed thing, because it's not necessarily the cheapest thing to buy. I think there's a huge misperception also that eating healthy is expensive.
Yes, yes.
Yes, but if you can buy a cauliflower and a broccoli for 35 rand, you can't even buy a toasted sandwich for 35 rand.
That's true as well.
Yeah, so I do think we just have to sit down and plan a little bit better, and you might surprise yourself on how much fresh stuff you can get in the end.
It boils down to planning and some very, very practical advice this morning from you, Nettie. Yeah, as you say, it's just sit and plan, and you can steer away from those high-processed, super-processed foods, which are so easy, you know, and they build as convenient and all the buzzwords that go along with it.
Yes, and I think, sort of, if you think about consumerism, I've sort of made this normal and okay. You know, it's okay, everybody's doing it, so it can't be that bad.
That's it.
So it's also a mindset that people's got that that's okay to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, unfortunately, like we've just heard, it's not so okay to
it's
do.
Definitely not okay. But yes. what is okay is to plan and, you know, come up with some interesting menus. But Unetsi,
focus on fresh.
Fresh. Focus on fresh. There, you've got a buzzword. Yes. Focus on fresh.
On fresh, yes.
Unetsi, if somebody wants to reach you and they maybe want to make use of your services as a nutritionist, how do they go about it?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989 or find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very, very much. Eat healthy and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks so much, Ray.
Thanks, Unetsi. Cheerio then. That's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat. And this chat will be on our website later on today as well, wildcoastradio.co.za.